Hey, thanks for joining us. This is Lady V along with SD. We are She Talks, Spreading Hope Everywhere Talks, the podcast, where it is our goal to inspire hope. Today's topic, don't succumb to fear. Us. I am SD and I am here with Lady V. Say hey to the people, Lady V.
Hey, hey.
We are so glad you decided to check out our podcast.
Yes.
So stay with us to the end of the episode because you did not come across us by chance.
That's right.
I am sure you will hear something that speaks directly to you or someone you know. Mm-hmm. Do us a favor and hit that subscribe button. Follow us on social media at We Are She Talks. And don't forget to share our uplifting content with your family and friends. To our regular listeners, thank you so much for your support. Head on over to our website, spreadinghopeeverywheretalks.com. Mm-hmm. Take our short survey, and or if our content has blessed you in any way, please do reach out to us and let us know. We would love to hear from you.
Yes.
Again, we appreciate your support.
Absolutely. So today we are talking about a topic called Don't Succumb to Fear.
Mm-hmm.
And with good reason. You know, there are so many disasters happening around the world, and there is the temptation to live life afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And although we must be wise in our daily practices, the question is, should we live in constant fear?
Right.
If you are like me, you know, at some time or another in life, you face the temptation to give in to fear.
Mm-hmm.
But if we stop and think about it, accepting fear-filled thoughts could lead to stressful, sleepless nights,
mm-hmm.
with still, you know, your peace.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I look back over my life, you know, there have been times in which, you know, I realized that those thoughts of fear led to an array of paralyzing worries.
Mm-hmm.
And those fears stole my focus away from believing anything hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can recall a time back when my daughter, who she's 23 now, but she was 6 weeks old, and we were in this terrible traffic accident. Of course, it was not my fault. and I remember.
Of course not.
I remember the sound of her crying, and which, you know, of course, was unlike her normal cries, and it sounded like a wailing from a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was screaming in her only language.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the worst moments of my life. You know,
mm-hmm.
I was terrified and paralyzed with fear. And, you know, the absolute worst thoughts raced through my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought my newborn, which, you know, I had just, you know, given birth to, you know, was, I thought she was dying. You know, I
mm-hmm.
felt like, you know, I was dying right along with her, you know, because, you know, it wasn't that either one of us was hurt. But the thought of life without her meant, you know, I didn't want to be a part of this life,
mm-hmm.
you know, and even though she, you know, she didn't have a scratch on her, you know, I assumed the worst,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I was wrong. You know, when the doctor, the ER, you know, checked her out, she was okay. He said she was only afraid,
mm-hmm.
you know, he just calmed her down and he just said, oh, she's fine. She was just afraid. And, you know, but I'll never forget that day because, you know, the vehicle was total lost.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about how when the lady pulled out across the traffic the way she did, just started in the traffic, and I mean traffic was flowing, and this lady just pulled across, and you know, like I said, my vehicle was total lost because there was no way to avoid hitting her.
Mm-hmm.
But I think about, I remember seeing her car seat like come right out of the seat belts, and that's how hard it hit,
mm-hmm.
the vehicle's hit, and it was like it was flying through the air. But God protected my daughter because
mm-hmm.
the car seat with my daughter in it did not go out of the windshield. It looked like it was, but what actually happened was something miraculous. When God, I said God protected my daughter, it was as if an angel
mm-hmm.
had took a hold of her car seat and then just brought it down nice and you know, and softly to the seat that it can't just flew out of, and it was like it just brought it back to the seat. And I'll never forget that day, you know. Again, when people don't believe in God, don't believe in angels, you know, I can't see how you don't, when there's so many testimonies out there like mine that can say God exists, mm-hmm. and so do his angels, mm-hmm. Because they definitely protected us that day. If you saw the vehicle, of course, you know, you would have thought somebody would have been hurt, you know, mm-hmm. and but by the grace of God, we were protected from any injury. And I also learned a valuable lesson that day, mm-hmm. and that lesson was, you know, don't allow fear to manifest thoughts of the worst outcomes,
right.
You know, stay in faith and trust God, you know, and no doubt, you know, there's going to be times, there's going to be situations which arise, and which fear presents itself as an option,
mm-hmm.
you know, and several kinds of fears can surface, you know, but there is another way of viewing things,
right.
and that is through the eyes of faith. So that's why today we want to shine a light on faith and fear.
Mm-hmm. But first, we're going to take a quick break for a public service announcement. Back in a moment.
COVID-19, better known as coronavirus, has spread throughout the world. There are a few ways to help lower the spread of this respiratory disease. Wash your hands. Avoid touching your face, including mouth, nose, and eyes. Cover your coughs and sneezes. Monitor your symptoms and consult with your doctor. Stay at home and away from other sick people except for medical care. Symptoms of this respiratory disease may include fever, cough, and shortness of breath. These symptoms may show up 2 to 14 days after exposure. If you are experiencing these symptoms and have come into contact or are in an area with an ongoing outbreak, please call a hotline and/or consult with a physician. Information about children with this disease is limited, but they are known to have had mild symptoms. Many organizations are responding accordingly depending upon their area. And for more information, please visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Thank you.
Okay, we are back. So let's just jump right back into discussing, you know, faith and fear. And, mm-hmm. You know, we left off, you know, I was talking about the terrible accident me and my daughter were in when she was 6 weeks old, and how God delivered us out of that without a scratch, even though the vehicle was total loss. And it taught me to not just allow fear to come in and just pour in the worst thoughts and the worst outcomes, and which, you know, would keep, you know, they kept me paralyzed with fear as the something was wrong. And then we got to the ER, you know, on the ambulance, and we found out from the ER doctor that she was fine. She was just afraid. And of course, you know, that brought my hysteria down.
Mm-hmm.
Once I found out she was okay. So, you know, I was going through scripture, and, you know, it's so many different accounts of fear in scripture and faith,
mm-hmm.
and which lets you know that even people in days of old dealt with some of the same issues,
mm-hmm.
that we deal with today. It's just in a different way, but they
right.
still dealt with fear and fearful conditionings coming up. But I want to address how to kind of handle that with faith, just as some of them did in scripture. And, you know, I was looking through and in Mark chapter 5 and in Mark chapter 6, you know, there's a couple different types of fears I want to address, you
mm-hmm.
know, the fear of loss,
mm-hmm.
fear of getting found out,
mm-hmm.
Fear of lack, and fear of the unknown, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure people can relate to this because, you know, a lot of us have dealt with those different types of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me get started out. We know in Mark chapter 5, you know, I'm just discuss briefly where, you know, it was an account where there was a man named Jairus. He was a well-known leader in the synagogue, and his daughter was ill, and he was going to find Jesus because he heard that, you know, Jesus had, you know, was healing people wherever he went. He was healing, and You know, although he was a synagogue leader, he still believed that Jesus had the ability, the power to heal his daughter. And of course, you know, when you are a parent and you have a child that is sick, you want whatever can help them. You want to help them. But he didn't just need just some help from a doctor. He needed a healer. Right. He needed Jesus. He needed a miracle because his 12-year-old daughter was dying at home. And so he came to Jesus paralyzed with fear, dropping to his knees, and he wanted Jesus to come to his home and heal his daughter. And at the same time, there was another person in that crowd that was just around Jesus. It was crowds and crowds of people because he drew crowds because people heard about it. Just think about it. When you hear that somebody is healing people and you got an ailment, you're going to go and find that person, you know? So there were crowds of people around him. And it was another person, which is this woman who had this bleeding disorder, but the doctors couldn't help her. They tried everything. She was ran out of money. They had caused more harm to her body than good. So she had heard about Jesus and she was coming to get healing from him herself. But she couldn't really get to him. So she thought, if I could just touch his clothes. And so here's this woman, she's desperate for healing because with this type of bleeding disorder, if people found out about it, you were deemed unclean and they didn't want to be near you because they thought I might catch something. We don't know what that is, you know? And so, she's trying to get to him, but it's so many people around him. She has to reach through the crowd. So this, you can imagine this woman trying to reach through people just to touch his clothes. She said, if I can touch his clothes, I know I'll be healed. And, but when she did that, he knew someone had touched him. I mean, although people were around him, he knew someone had touched him with a desperate need for healing. And he knew that power of healing came out from him. And, so just like Jairus is right here at Jesus' feet saying, I need you to come and heal my daughter, she's dying. And then there's this woman with the issue of blood. She's reaching through the crowd to touch Jesus while he stopped for a moment just to get a touch of him. And then he was like, well, who touched me? You know, he paused for a minute. Who touched me? And then, you know, all his disciples around him are saying, you know, why are you asking who touched you? You know, all these people around you, why would you ask that? It could be anybody. It could have been anybody, Jesus, you know. But he was like, no, but I felt power go out from me. In other words, she had this desperate need that it drew that power of healing out of him. And here's one desperate person, that's Jairus, with a fear of loss of his daughter right before Jesus' feet, pleading him, please come. And then Jesus has this woman sticking her hand through the crowd, trying to tug on his clothes just to touch him to get healing. And she has this fear of getting found out when he says, who touched my clothes? And she is afraid. Now, why she was afraid, I'm not sure. Because to me, they heard of him as being a peaceful person. He healed and, you know, he delivered people. And, you know, so it was like, why was she afraid of being found out? But at the same time, if you think about it, just as JR's is trying to explain to him, my daughter's sick and this is going on with her, she was probably thinking, now I got to tell everybody my business that I've been walking around here with this issue of bleeding all these years, this hemorrhaging all these years, and people might start treating her differently, you know. But she did receive healing when she touched him.
And not only that, it was against the law.
To touch anyone considered unclean.
Who was considered unclean. So it was that factor as well.
She
could have been afraid that would they kill her? Would they stone her for being out there amongst all those people? Because remember, she was reaching through the crowd. So think about all those people she was touching just to get to Jesus. That could have been why she was scared.
And in this day and time with so much going on with the coronavirus, you know, people, you know, afraid to get close to one another. You gotta have that social distancing. So in this time with this one with the issue of blood, and you know, people could have, you know, if they had known about her condition, you know, they might have been like, what she got? You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't want, you know, her to touch me. Did she just touch Jesus? What is you know, so but she got her healed. She got healed immediately. And she knew that she got healed. She felt the blood dry up. And at that same time when she's afraid and she finally, when Jesus said, who touched me? And she admits, okay, it was me. He was like, don't be afraid. He was like, daughter, you know, your faith has, healed you, you know, mm-hmm. you know, you don't have to be fearful. You know, he was like, your faith has made you whole. And mm-hmm. so, you know, she was fearful for nothing.
Right.
He wasn't trying to out her and be right. like, come here. Let me, right. you know, what's going on with you? Tell everybody. Mm-hmm. He didn't do that.
Right.
You know, but she had all these fears in her mind when he said, who touched me, mm-hmm. that she let her mind start racing, go toward all the negative mm-hmm. that, you know, she just like, okay, it was me. And she didn't know what's going to happen, but all he did was let her know, you know, don't be afraid. You know, your faith is has made you whole. You
right.
know, wherein with Jairus, while he's still down there like, Jesus, remember me? You know, here comes a messenger from Jairus' home. And he was like, don't bother the teacher anymore. That's what they call Jesus. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter already done died. And, mm-hmm. you know, of course, you know, Jesus overhears this messenger telling Jairus, don't bother the teacher. You know, your daughter just died. Mm-hmm. You know, and Jesus looks at Jairus and says, don't be afraid, just have faith.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes with Jairus to see his daughter at his house. And of course, people went there mourning and crying and cutting up.
Mm-hmm.
And people were gossiping about it and everything. And Jesus was like, why are y'all crying? What is wrong with y'all? You know, the girl is just asleep. She's not dead. And they just start laughing. Like, he crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she was dead.
Mm-hmm.
But in this way, Jesus is not speaking. If Jesus had said she is dead, and he ain't lied, but he said she's asleep, because consider when you die, it's considered that you are, by heaven's terms, you have your body has went on an eternal rest, but mm-hmm. your spirit still lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So when he says she's asleep, he wasn't talking about like taking a nap.
Right.
But he was talking about her body states, but her spirit was still alive.
Right.
Now, Jesus knew he could resurrect this girl's body. So,
right.
you know, he wasn't worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
But when they laughed at him, like, because they didn't understand what he meant when he said she's just asleep, she's not dead. They didn't understand what he meant by it.
Mm-hmm.
They just laughed, and he just put them out. He just took the girl's parents in there, mm-hmm. and he took three of his disciples with him,
mm-hmm.
and then he just touched the girl and spoke to the girl and told her, get up, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that reminds me of sometimes you mm-hmm. have to put people out.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be
uh-huh.
afraid
uh-huh.
to
mm-hmm.
put people
mm-hmm.
out, because
mm-hmm.
the thing of it is, if you allow those type of people in,
mm-hmm.
it could mess with the atmosphere that you're trying to set.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to set an atmosphere of faith.
Yeah.
And if you allow people, they laughing,
mm-hmm.
they like, they crazy, they
mm-hmm.
crazy,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need all of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to put people out.
That's right. Come on now. Look, that's a sermon right there. Don't be afraid to put people out. But the thing of it is, you know, like you said, you know, here were these people. First, they crying and screaming and they gossiping. And,
mm-hmm.
and then soon, you know, like, they so upset over this girl dying. But yet, when Jesus says she's not dead, she's only asleep, then they bust out. Go like, now, how mm-hmm. you go from grieving to laughing
right,
at somebody?
Right.
To me, that shows it was disingenuous.
Yes.
It was not really genuine, because if they were really grieving her loss,
mm-hmm.
then they shouldn't have been laughing. You know, I could see them looking at him like, what are you talking about? We're looking,
mm-hmm.
she ain't breathing no more. She don't turn purple and blue.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about? But they laughed at, and I'm like, how you switch up? But it's just like some people go to a funeral, you see them, the loud person hollering and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then it's all fake. It's all
yeah.
for show. It's
mm-hmm.
not for real.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but anyway, Jesus put them out. He knew they weren't for real.
That's
so
right. That's right.
He knew what to do when we showed him the dough. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, she did rise. Jesus healed her, and she was, you know, she got up, and Jesus said, give her something to eat, and she was all right. And then he told her parents, you know, don't say anything about this, you know, because Jesus wasn't out for flash. He wasn't
right.
trying. He wasn't doing no magical tricks trying to get people to come and watch his magic show.
Right.
He didn't want nobody equating him with doing something magical. He wanted God to get all the glory
right.
for everything. So, you know, this wasn't about him, and he knew it wasn't about him. So that's how you can tell the difference between somebody who's really, you know, living, you know, for God, and if they're not, if they're trying to do stuff to get praise for themselves,
right.
then they're not living for God, because
mm-hmm.
Jesus was never trying to get praise for himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was always just trying to heal people, help people, deliver people, set
mm-hmm.
them free. And so that's his purpose even today. So, you know, in both of these cases, you know, it was two different kinds of fears.
Mm-hmm.
People, you know, they could have succumbed to completely, or they did, you know, in other words, that fear of loss, losing a loved one,
mm-hmm.
and then that fear of getting found out, all your business getting put out there.
Mm-hmm.
So we understand both cases. basis of fear, you know, having faith produced the results of healing in both cases. So, you know, so that's the difference between faith. So its takeaways there is that fear causes worry and anxiety, mm-hmm. and then faith in Jesus produces good results.
That's right. That's right.
So now going to the next two parts of fears that I want to speak on, you know, that can, you know, be relatable on today. Fear of lack. Okay, right. let's where the toilet tissue at in the right. show. Where the meat in the meat department, where all the groceries at.
So now, we're not making light of bread. The coronavirus. No, not making light of it. Just this saying, is a serious thing.
Just saying, you got to bring humor in some right. things, because, you know, even scripture says laughter does the heart good like a medicine. Uh-huh. So,
and you gotta laugh to keep from crying.
Yeah, you gotta laugh, because one thing about it, you know, and it's not laughing at people, meaning right. fear and lack. It's being able to say, okay, it's with fear and lack back in the old days, it's fear and lack now, mm-hmm. in some people, and which is causing rash decision making.
Right.
And so, you know, everybody's being guilty of doing that. Mm-hmm. So, you know. Mm-hmm. But just rash thinking, where fear can cause rash thinking. So here we have in Mark chapter 6, where Jesus feeding the 5,000. Okay. So, you know, Jesus, the people are gathered around, you know, like I said, it's 5,000 people, and it's people that gather around. They have been listening to Jesus. They're hearing him speak. And so, you know, the disciples are like wanting Jesus to send the people away. He was like, you know, won't you send them so they can go and get them something to eat? They've been sitting around all this long time. You know, won't you send, you know, them away so they can go get something to eat? It's getting late, you know. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is like, you know, no, you feed the people. And they're looking like, how are we going to feed 5,000 people? And he was like, what do you have? He was like, you give us a, what do you have? And they was like, do you know how many wages it would take for us? It would take 8 months wages for us to even spend that much money on bread just to get them anything to eat, you know. And Jesus was like, okay, what do you have? What is it that you, so, you know, the disciples going around, they look and they found that they have five, you know, loaves of bread, and they had two fish. And so, you know, Jesus directed them. He was like, have everybody sit down in groups on the grass and in groups of hundreds and fifties, you know. And so Jesus takes the five loaves and the two fish. He looks up to heaven. He gives thanks. He breaks the loaves, and he gave it to the disciples to set before the people. And, you know, and he divided the fish among all of them, and they all ate and were satisfied, is what the scripture says. Mm-hmm. And the disciples picked up 12 basket fulls of broken pieces of bread and fish. And it says the number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. So mm-hmm. it was leftovers, so 12 baskets of leftovers. Mm-hmm. Now, the fear of not having enough to feed everybody was mm-hmm. the disciples' first thought. They mm-hmm. looked at the amount of multitude of people gathered, mm-hmm. and they feared of not having enough to, you know, money to buy food to feed the people. Mm-hmm. But Jesus knew that with him, he could do the impossible. He right. could multiply what little that we have, and he mm-hmm. can make it into much. Mm-hmm. You know, so again, here lies where faith would have came in if they had been like, you know what, Jesus, I don't see you heal people. I don't see you do miracles. Mm-hmm. You know, I know if you telling us to feed these people, I know you got a plan for us to feed mm-hmm. these people. Mm-hmm. But their mindset didn't go to that. They immediately went to the multitude of people and how they have enough.
Right.
So that's where the lack came in at. And then, of course, there's the fear of the unknown. And also in Mark chapter 6, where, you know, the impossible can be made possible. Now, a lot mm-hmm. of people, they if they hear about somebody getting sick, you know, or let's say, since we're talking about the coronavirus and our public announcement, you mm-hmm. know, people getting sick, and they immediately assume if they got the coronavirus that they're going to die. Mm-hmm. Wherein, you know, there are some people that I've seen so many accounts of people that were healed and giving their testimonies on Facebook that mm-hmm. they had it, but then they're healed and they're giving glory to God. You know, this older woman, I think she was 90 years old. She thought she was dying, and she was saying goodbye to her family, and God brought her out, and she said he brought her out. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was just thinking about, you know, that fear the unknown can paralyze people into mm-hmm. thinking that, you know, and what looks impossible mm-hmm. to happen, a healing that looks impossible, you know, it can be made possible by the power of Jesus, mm-hmm. you know. But, you know, it's all in how you're thinking. Mm-hmm. How are you thinking? So in Mark chapter 6, here we have Jesus walking on water. This is about, again, the fear of the unknown. Mm-hmm. Here we have account of the disciples. They see Jesus walking on water and they think he's a ghost. Mm-hmm. Okay. The word of God says in verse 47:50 that late that night, the disciples were in their boat in the middle of the lake and Jesus was alone on land. He saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. Mm-hmm. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. They cried out in terror, thinking he was a ghost. They were all of terrified when they saw him. Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I'm here." He said, "Don't be afraid."
That's right.
You know, Jesus is constantly saying that, "Don't be afraid." And I believe there's a reason for him saying, "Don't be afraid." Because when we put our trust in Jesus, you know, there is proof that Jesus has done the miraculous. He can do the miraculous. And so, you know, with them, the disciples having walked with Jesus and seeing the miraculous that he did that they could not explain, you know, again, if they had walked in faith, the first thing they should have thought when they saw and it like, you know, goes a couple, like, "Jesus, where you at? Where you, you here? You here with us? Is that you?" You know, but instead they were terrified, you know. He had to calm them down, said, "Don't be afraid," because he knew those thoughts would take them to, it would just take them far beyond where they need to be. They would have been, they would have been afraid for nothing. That fear would have been unfounded. All the thoughts they had going through their head would have been unfounded. You know, so he was like, "Take courage, you know, I'm here." And he climbed to the boat and the wind stopped. They were totally amazed. But you know, they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. So obviously their hearts still wasn't wrapped around, the heads wasn't wrapped around the fact that he just multiplied 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish for 5,000 people to feed them. So what would it mean for him to be able to walk on water? He is God. He is fully man, but he's fully God. He's God's son. So of course, you know, he could do this miraculous thing. This would be another miraculous thing that he would be able to do. So, you know, they did get to their destination. However, the disciples' fear of the unknown caused them not to understand. Okay. So a lot of times, that's why people don't understand miracles now. They'll throw it off and say it's witchcraft or something like that. You know, they'll say different things, try to explain it away. But miracles do take place, yes, you know, right? And we are proof of that. We know of that. We have seen it in our family many times. So, again, fear prevents you from believing the impossible being made possible. You know, so, you know, I got to point out that the thing about God is that he can do the impossible if you will only just believe.
And also remember, just as when we have faith and we have faith in God's word and what he said and when we stand on that, if you succumb to fear, let's go back to Job. It said what he greatly feared happened. So you don't want to, it's fear is meditation in the unknown. Fear is meditation in you're afraid of this going to happen and that going to happen.
And you're making up scenarios in
your
head.
You're making up those scenarios in your head. And with psychology, it says that fear, it directs people in a direction of the negative, wherein you're afraid of something that you don't even know if it's really going to happen. You know, and you're putting all of your trust in that, oh, this could happen, that could happen. This No, what you need to do is put your trust in the word of God that tells you, Jesus said, "Don't fear, for I am with you." And if you are a believer, you need to stand on the fact that he is with us.
That's right.
And if the greater one who lives within us says, "Do not fear,"
don't you don't need to fear. That's
you
right.
You need to take him at his word. Either you believe it or
you
not.
Don't.
And in this time of the coronavirus, for believers, this is the time to test to see if you really believe this word.
That's
like
right.
you say you
That's
do.
Right. That's right. And the truth, you know, the truth is with God, everything is about having faith.
That's
you know,
right.
Everything is about having faith. And, you know, so, you know, and it, I go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, where it says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith." Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. In other words, he rewards those that seek him. All right, if you're seeking God and you believe in God, then if his word says if you are healed by Jesus' stripes, then you are healed. So that's a reward to have healing when your doctor is saying, "I'm sorry, you ain't gonna make it through the next day." And we know of people in our lives, SD and I know people in our lives that you know, one man was Mr. Julius, who was our father's friend from the past, and he was also a partner in a business with him. You know, found out 1 month that he had cancer, and the doctor told him he had 30 days to live, and that's how long he lived. He believed mm-hmm. he gonna die in 30 days, and he got what he believed. Mm-hmm. He feared he was gonna die in 30 days, and he got what he feared. Mm-hmm. And wherein we had a mentor, our spiritual mother, Reverend Carolyn Horton, is going to be with the Lord now, who went over 20 years with different kinds of cancers popping mm-hmm. up in her body, looking like she was on death's door, but she kept speaking she was going to live and not die. She kept mm-hmm. speaking the word of God, and she believed it, and she was ministering to the people in the hospital. You know, some doctors thought she was crazy, but she came out. Each mm-hmm. time she came out, yep. each time she got healed, and she came out, and then another cancer popped up, but she, each time she spoke that she was healed by Jesus Christ, she got healed, and, you know, and but then, like I said, she was fine for what? Then another cancer popped up, but the thing of it is, she didn't jump into fear. Her right. thoughts didn't go to fear, because she knew that fear is an opposition to faith.
That's right.
You know, fear is based on doubt and unbelief, and faith is based on complete trust in God.
That's right.
And
that's
she good. Had that complete trust in God, and that's why she lived as long as she wanted to. And when she died, it was when she said, you know what, I'm going to be with the Lord. That's I'm putting on my traveling mm-hmm. shoes. And that was a whole year she kept saying that, and finally she did leave this mm-hmm. earth. But it was not until she said she was 20 years.
That's right.
20 years of this woman declaring that she was healed when the mm-hmm. doctors were saying she was a stage 4 cancer. She wasn't going to live long. She did not receive what they said. She mm-hmm. received what the word of God said. She still did the chemo. She still did the yep. natural part. But the spiritual part is what carried her through. The word of God says man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What mm-hmm. is the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? The word that's in the Holy Bible.
That's
the
right.
word of God. So that is what we live by. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying the word ain't saying you don't eat nothing. That's not what it's saying. It was saying your reliability, your total trust, your mm-hmm. total every life breathing should be on trusting God's word mm-hmm. because that is what is getting us through this time right now.
That is.
It is the word of God. Mm-hmm. So Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding.
That's right.
Why? Just like the disciples in the boat seeing the man walking on water, they thought it was a ghost and it was Jesus. They did not understand that. That didn't seem possible with a mm-hmm. human being to be able to do that. Just like with Jairus' messenger, his daughter was dead, and he comes to tell Jairus, your daughter is dead. Well, Jairus is there to receive healing for Jesus to come to his house to give his daughter to heal his daughter. Mm-hmm. He could have went on what was seen before his own understanding, which mm-hmm. was what the messenger said, your daughter is dead. Mm-hmm. But Jairus did not go on that. Jesus told him, don't be afraid, you know, just trust me. Don't
That's
be
right.
afraid. Trust what I'm saying to you. And because of that, his daughter lived. Mm-hmm. So trusting God requires total surrender to his will
That's
and his
right.
way.
That's right.
Which means we won't always understand how a thing will happen.
That's right.
We just have to trust that with God, it is possible.
Yes.
So there's no room for fear. No That's, room. Absolutely no room for fear when it comes to God. Because God says either you're going to believe me or you're not.
That's right.
Okay. You know, either you're going to trust me or you're not.
That's right.
But what these people that in scripture and what we've seen in our lives and the lives of people around us, what we've seen what fear can do, and we've seen what faith can do.
Yes.
So, you know, all I can say is if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you know that you know. If you don't know, I don't know what's wrong, because you must not be staying in the word. Because if you have, you got to have one instance
That's right.
in your life where you saw what faith worked. You
yes.
have got to. Mm-hmm. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you got to have one instance in your life that you can testify that I know God did this. It was
yeah.
not because of my own doing or anybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when we got many, and so mm-hmm. you know what I'm going to say? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, you know, if you ain't got no instances of that, then obviously you got to get back in the word and start practicing what you meditate on in your mind. Because
right.
if you meditate on the word of God, it will transform your thinking. And I'm not saying that we don't have times when we could get afraid of something.
Mm-hmm.
That's normal.
Yeah.
The natural of the mind to go there first. But then we let our spiritual, this part we've learned in the spirit of the word of God, we know that it's the word of God is spirit and life. So we realize we got to quickly direct those mm-hmm. thoughts, those wrong thoughts to faith
right.
and just capture those fearful thoughts and to cast them out, mm-hmm. push them out, you know.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can be difficult.
It can be.
And it's a fight. Well, it says fight the good fight of faith.
Yes,
it really is. Very true.
Yes.
It does not mean one time mm-hmm. and then it's,
you it'll be know, easy. Yeah.
It's going to be
yeah.
easy. Yeah. No, it's going to be sometimes where you're going to be like, you could barely do it. You mm-hmm. standing on God's word mm-hmm. in tears, mm-hmm. crying. Mm-hmm. But stay constant mm-hmm. and remind yourself, whatever you're going through, get mm-hmm. a scripture. Even with this coronavirus mm-hmm. going around, get a scripture.
Mm-hmm. Psalm 91.
Luke 10 and 19. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Come on now, stand mm-hmm. on that. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. when you go to the grocery store, mm-hmm. don't go out there in fear mm-hmm. like you're afraid somebody, mm-hmm. you're going to get it. Don't mm-hmm. do that. Mm-hmm. Go out there in your protection. Mm-hmm. Put on your armor. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Be like, when I go out here, now, still follow the guidelines.
You got to follow the guidelines. Stay your feet apart. Wear your gloves yeah. and your mask.
Wash your hands
constantly.
Let's just be real. Mm-hmm. Baby, if people weren't washing their hands, that was a hygiene that problem.
It was. Don't try to tell you. I carried my sanitizer gel. My probably 3-4 bottles up all the time. This before all of this. Before this coronavirus, I was doing that because I'm just a germaphobe. I don't like germs.
But the thing of it is, mm-hmm. don't go out in fear.
That's right.
Like we said, follow, do what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But go out there saying, okay, no harm is coming nigh my dwelling. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not going to come near me. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. not going to come near my family because, again, mm-hmm. back to Job, mm-hmm. he was praying them prayers mm-hmm. over his children, his mm-hmm. family, mm-hmm. that this one happened and that one happened. And because he was in fear, all that he was afraid of came to pass. Mm-hmm. You have to leave your home saying, okay, I'm standing on the word of God. My family is protected. Mm-hmm. I am protected. Mm-hmm. We're going to do what we're supposed to do, mm-hmm. but we are protected.
That's right.
And stand on that.
And since you mentioned Psalm 91, believers to be standing on against this coronavirus, let me just read Psalm 91 for mm-hmm. anybody listeners that don't know what it is. So mm-hmm. just so you will know. In Psalm 91, it says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Mm-hmm. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge mm-hmm. and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Mm-hmm. Surely he will save you from the foul snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. Mm-hmm. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. In other translations, it says his faithfulness will be your armor and protection.
Yes.
You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Corona, okay? Mm-hmm. Midday, corona.
No, the corona
that destroys at midday. You do not have to fear that.
That's right.
It says, a thousand may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Mm-hmm. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. Mm-hmm. No disaster will come near your tent. Or you can say your home. Mm-hmm. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Mm-hmm. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. In other words, his angels are with you to keep you from getting hurt. Even mm-hmm. your toe. Even mm-hmm. your toe. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent because he... In other words, that's dangerous things. Mm-hmm. You're gonna overcome all of that too. Mm-hmm. It says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. God is looking after his own people. Mm-hmm. He is loving on his own. He's looking after his own. Mm-hmm. Even if you're going through, he said, I'm going to get you through. So mm-hmm. that's still him saying, I will rescue you. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you need rescue and you drowning in the river and you need rescue and somebody throw you a life jacket or a life them donut things yeah, or life thongs, so that's still rescuing you. That's getting you out. Even if you're in it, he can get you out.
That's right.
All right, says, so I will protect him because he acknowledges my name. In other words, Jesus said, if you trust in me and you calling on me, mm-hmm. you know, all those that call the name of the Lord will be saved. You call on Jesus.
He's
going to protect you. He ain't going to ignore that call, you know. Mm-hmm. And it says, he says, he will call upon me and I will answer him. So he's promised, I'll answer you if you call on me.
Yes.
He says, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. That means, you know, you still going to go through some stuff. You know, mm-hmm. we're going to go through some stuff. Mm-hmm. But he says, I give you a promise. I'll deliver you.
Yes.
I'll deliver you. He said, and honor him with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So, you know, I go back to this Psalm 91, you know, for all believers are trusting in Psalm 91 concerning, you know, coming against, using that as our armor, coming against the coronavirus to keep from getting it, or if it's a believer that has it or in the hospital, keep reciting this, mm-hmm. and keep reminding yourself the promises of God. He is faithful to perform his word. He is mm-hmm. watching over it to perform it. Mm-hmm. So you can remind God, said, God, you said you would, this harm wouldn't come near me. You mm-hmm. said you would, if I was in trouble, you would get me out. Yeah. You said you would deliver me. You would rescue me. Mm-hmm. So God, I'm looking to you to be faithful to honor your word. Mm-hmm. And you best believe God is going to honor his word. If you hold him to it, he's going to honor his word, because God cannot lie. Mm-hmm. If he said, you calling me, I'll answer. That's exactly what he's going to do. You can trust that. I know I done seen it. Mm-hmm. And many times we done seen it in our lives and the lives of people around us that are faith people. You know, we've seen it.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's get ready to wrap this up. Yeah. Let's get to the takeaways where that I have here. One, do not give in to fear. We've said that. Mm-hmm. Keep calm and remember that God is with you. Mm-hmm. If you have faith in Jesus mm-hmm. and trust God's word, you are in excellent hands. Yes. Okay. And Deuteronomy 31:8 says, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you.
Right.
Okay. Point number two, do not give in to fear. Pray in faith.
Yes.
Fear will only hold you hostage mm-hmm. and keep you from experiencing the power of God, mm-hmm. while faith will result in you experiencing mounting moving miracles.
Yeah.
Why I say mounting moving miracles? Okay. I go back to Mark 11:22-24, which says, then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. Mm-hmm. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. Mm-hmm. But you must really believe it will happen mm-hmm. and have no doubt in your heart. Mm-hmm. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Mm-hmm. You see, mountains were used in this scripture with a symbolic link to those things that seem ultimately impossible. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's why Jesus used, I believe he used mountain for that, mm-hmm. that as a metaphor as to some of the greatest things you can't even possibly see mm-hmm. in that happening. Mm-hmm. He's saying, if you believe it, and you believe me, you trust me in your heart, you know, he was like, you know, you receive what you believe in on. You can have faith in God, and it will be removed. So you can say, coronavirus, I be moved out of my life. Be moved out of this country. Mm-hmm. You know, be moved out of the nations from causing harm and death and sickness.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
So right now we're going to pray and we're going to touch and we're going to agree. We're going to believe God and have faith in restoration for the nations.
Yes.
So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, and we come in the authority of Jesus as we come boldly before your throne of grace, God. Yes. We thank you that when we come to you, God, you have promised to answer, God.
Yes.
We thank you, God, right now as we declare and decree that this coronavirus has an expiration date.
Yes, it does.
We call that expiration date right now
in the name of Jesus.
God, we thank you for healing going out to the nations, God. We thank you, Father God, for deliverance from this disease. This virus, God, we thank you, Father God, for you supplying every need, God, for the healthcare workers, oh God, protect and cover them, God. We thank you, Father God, as you cover those that's working out there in the grocery stores, those truck drivers delivering those deliveries, God, all those that are out there, the first responders, God, we praying a protection over them, God, that you would keep them, Father God, from this sickness and disease, God.
Yes.
We thank you right now, Lord God, that we know that you are a healer, God.
Yes.
And as we pray for the nations, God, we pray and ask, God, and we say it with thanksgiving that you heal our land, God.
Yes, God.
And we thank you, Father God, right now, Father God, for a vast number of testimonials of healing from this, God.
Yes.
And we thank you right now, God, for protecting us, God, and keeping us, Father God. And we thank you that your word is perfect, God.
Yes.
So we thank you that we can trust in you, God. And as you deliver us out of all of this, God, we thank you that you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise.
Yes.
And we just speak healing right now, healing to the nations, healing peace to the nations right now, trusting in you, God, faith in you, God, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We thank you right now, Lord God, that you are greater than anything that's happening right now, God. And we thank you that you be the great I am of this earth, God. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
We loose healing from heaven, God. We bind sickness and disease, viruses, coronavirus. We bind it in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
But we loose healing willing, God. You said, yes, whatsoever God. We bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatsoever we loose on earth is loose in heaven. So we loose that healing upon the earth, God, in the name of Jesus. Let your glory and your spirit flow in every nation and every people, God. Yes. And we thank you, God, that you will get all the glory and the honor in this, God. And we thank you, God, for all those that are listening to us, God. We pray protection over them and their families, God. Yes. We pray, Father God, that you give them peace, God.
Yes.
We pray that you would put a faith in them, God, that they will stay trusting in you. We pray that it will build in them. And if they don't know you, God, we pray that they'll give their life to Jesus. That they will pray that simple prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Yes, I make you my Lord and Savior. And we thank you, Father God, that you will lead them and guide them by your Holy Spirit. And for all believers that are listening, if you're going through or you've been through or you're on that way, you think you don't know what you're going to do, I say trust God.
Yes.
Trust and have faith and believe in the Father. He hearkens into the cries of the righteous and he will answer. So I thank you, God, right now that you are a prayer answering God.
Yes.
And we lift up every person on this earth, no matter what they believe. And we pray, God, for healing to take place only by your power and only by the name of your son, Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name, I declare it is so.
It is so.
Grace and peace to you. Jesus is Lord.
If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe so that you can stay plugged in into another hope-filled discussion. For this week's show notes, go to spreadinghopeeverywheretalks.com/S2E11.
While you're there, follow and like us on social media. Sign up for my SD's list of 10 must-read books for positive outlook, spiritual enlightenment, and brain health. Check out Lady V's weekly devotional episodes. And if you like merch with positive messaging, go on over to our online store. Join us next time on She Talks, Spreading Hope Everywhere Talks, where we are letting our light shine through faith, hope, and love.